Hey, good morning, Mount Ararat family. Here we are gathered again on our online worship experience. Man, what a crazy few weeks we're having here in Northern Virginia with this unpredictable snowstorms coming in every single weekend. Well, listen, this is why we love that we have an online presence so that God can rally us together even during inclement times of weather. Listen, wherever you're watching from today, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, would you just be open to maybe what God might share with each of us today in this experience? I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, the missionary Paul, that he once said, that a great door of effective work has been opened to me, an open door. Listen, today I'm going to begin with our missionary family out here, and I want to welcome them to the stage because they're about to depart again for their next three-year tour over in Papua New Guinea. Now, before they leave us today, I was thinking about this, about open doors. 6 years ago, Jason, you and I went for kind of a vision trip, and we flew over there, and we wanted to experience what tribal missions would be before they get over there full-time in their assignment. We actually visited two tribes, and one of those tribes we went to was a new work up in the mountains called Omdu. Now, immediately when we got off that plane, and that very first day, we were met with apprehension and suspicion and even a little bit of questions about why we were there. By the end of that afternoon on the first day, it was very clear they did not want us there and we were not welcomed. Now listen, the missionaries had only been in that tribe for 2 years, and the last thing Jason and I wanted to do on a short-term trip is to close the door to what God was trying to do in their ministry. So we reached out to the transport, the plane agreed to pick us up the next day, and we were going to head out of there. Now, interesting enough, we got invited that night into one of the villagers' houses and huts. And while we were there, we talked and we laughed and we ate with them, and walls came down and doors opened up. Matter of fact, the leader invited you and I after that night to say, hey, you are welcome to stay a little longer. Now, we still jumped on a plane and left out of there the next day, but what we were reminded in the world of mission work is that God is the one who opens doors and God is the one who closes them. And as we talk about open doors, that's what we want to pray for. Today, we are going to ask some elders to come up here with me. And before they share, this is your chance to maybe share one last time, because this is your last Sunday with us at the Mount. Is there anything that you want to say to us so we can be mindful of you over these next 3 years?
Of course. Yeah, we want to first just say thank you for all the prayers, all the gifts, those who sacrificed financially to keep us in Papua New Guinea. Just the encouragements, the letters, the Facebook Messenger notes that we get throughout the year, those sorts of things keep us going. It reminds us that we're loved, and we can't do the work we do without that. And so we wanted to say thank you for that.
Amen. Mount family, this is a great way to get excited about this family going back to Papua New Guinea. So, you know, as we can't gather physically, why don't you guys in your space, in your house or in your car or wherever you're at, just join us spiritually as we lay hands on this beautiful family. Mark is going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to close us out with prayer.
All right, thank you. And Lord, you gave us a scripture in Matthew 28, starting with 16. As we know, it's a great commission. It's a great time to be reminded of that, starting in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this time. We praise you, Lord, for your great commission. Yes, Lord. We praise you for the connection the Mount has with your global ministry, with your kingdom. We thank you so much for the Cheesedales. We thank you for their dedication, their sacrifice, and their consistency in wanting to spread the gospel for you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you send your counselor, the Holy Spirit, be with them in all their ups and downs and everything they will face. And we just pray they'll come back with other stories of your glory and how we're reaching the world for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Father, we do thank you for Jason and Lakin and Thatcher and Copeland and Isley. Father, we thank you for this beautiful family. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the way you pierced their hearts to go, Father. Scripture tells us to go and share the good news. And Father, as they go across the globe to share the good news, Father, we pray for them in advance. We trust you, Father, with their lives, with their travel, with their protection, Father, with their well-being. And even as Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, Father, we pray your protection over them from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, Father, that you would just cover them with your spirit. Father, thank you for what a great example looks like, this family. And we just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would watch over them, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, hey, Mount family, that's the way I want to start a service, don't you? We get to be about being a sending church. Well, today we are going to be back into our series, the Do-Over series. And if you have a Bible, turn with me to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. As you're going there, I want us to lean in on what I started with today, to not miss the open door. Come on, don't miss the open door. Hopefully you're worshiping with somebody else today. Turn to that person, turn to those people right now. Look them in the eye. Come on, in the chat room, say it. Don't miss the open door. Come on, tell each other that today. That's a good challenge for each of us today. Well, listen, today we are going to look at the sixth letter in this letter to churches in Asia Minor. And the place we're going to look at today is the Church of Philadelphia. Now, they are positioned right there on the frontier to head out to the east. Now, as I was thinking about frontier, it made me think about our country, the United States of America. That there was a time where there was frontier right here in our homeland. And there was a time where there was a Western expansion where people were moving out into unsettled, uncharted places in the country to establish a claim, to settle an area of land. And I want to kind of call your attention back with a series of pictures and a story. Come on, go back with me in U.S. history. It's September the 16th, 1893, just before noon. 100,000 people were waiting for the signal for one of the most remarkable races in our country's history. It's the Great Land Claim Race. Come on. Listen, it's the starting line was the Cherokee Outlet up in the Oklahoma Panhandle. And all of the crowd were gathered there that day to hopefully be one of the 42,000 people to claim land for their life and for their family. Now, if you do the math there, 100,000 people there, you're going to start to realize this land that's been made available by the U.S. government, only about half of the crowd that day is going to be encouraged and satisfied. That the half of the group is going to be disappointed once the fittest and the fastest leave the rest of the crowd behind. The prize, if you were to win that, claim that land, was to gain 160 acres of virgin farmland. Cheap, ready to be claimed, and ready to be settled. Now, with that being said, this race represented great opportunity. Come on, it was an open door for many out of poverty, many out of unfortunate situations. This was a new beginning, a new start. Now, hopes for some, as the cannon went off, it was a dust and it was noise as horses, as carriages, as people began to lunge forward. It was like excitement, but all of a sudden out of the gate, some people immediately were disappointed when their horses came up lame, when carts began to break off and axles began to crumble and men and women fell and many were trampled as people were moving outward to make their claim. But again, there were some that were able to get to that plot of land and to put that stake in the ground and to claim that new territory as theirs. Now, two achievements had to be accomplished for this kind of success. And I want you to pay attention to this for a second here. For you to get this, you got to, first of all, be fast enough, fit enough to get there first, to claim the land. And then as soon as you claim the land, you got to have enough staying power to endure the elements to make it through that first harvest so that you could really establish yourself in that land. Two objectives that really come with two different skill sets and working abilities to arrive. Now, I want you to lean in on that thought just for a second here, because we got a church in the Bible that's on the frontier, and I want to describe to you today two types of people that's going to take to stay. For the first, it's called the pioneer. This is the person who is committed to change. Their flexibility, their speed of operation. Come on, they're the one who rallies around doing something new. Come on, any pioneers watching out there today? Come on, put that, if that's who you are out there, let me hear it. But right behind that is a settler. A settler is a person who emphasizes order and consistency and stability. One who tends to what is already been created. Can I ask you a question today, just in those two definitions? Are you a pioneer or are you a settler? Now, as we kind of evaluate that, I wonder if you think about the environments that you're in your life. Maybe you're on a group. Maybe you're in an organization. Maybe you're on a team. Maybe you're in a family. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you're in a marriage. Maybe you're in a church family. Are you a pioneer or are you a settler? Now, as we think about that tension, I might ask you the question, which do you think is more important? Which one matters most? And it might be dependent on where you sit and what role you play. But I would answer it this way. Both. Both are needed and both are required, no matter what team, what organization, what group you're a part of. You need some pioneers and you need some settlers. Now, to give you kind of a visual for this, it's kind of like a horse pulling a cart. What do I mean by that? Well, the pioneer is like a horse leading out and pulling that cart behind it, where the settlers are more like the cart carrying the supplies behind the horse. Now, as you think about a horse and a cart, this is where leadership is demanded. This is where leadership is required, is that the leader knows how to hold on to the reins to make sure that the horse and the cart both end up safely at the destination, because they're both needed, they're both required. And if you think about it that way, the horse, it can't travel very far and carry much. Actually, the horse can't take very much along behind it without the cart, and the cart can't travel very far without the horse. We need both. Come on. We need both. And here's the temptation. The temptation is to miss the opportunity. Matter of fact, that's what I titled today's message, a missed opportunity, because I think that's what the Church of Philadelphia is on the edge of, and Jesus doesn't want them to miss this opportunity, just like he doesn't want you to miss your opportunity right here today. But here's two challenges of that missed opportunity, is when you, the pioneer, you, the settler, look at the other, and you decide to go alone, or you decide to go against. Going alone and going against will cause you to miss your opportunity. Listen, God's trying to tell us and teach us something here in all of this. And it's the fact that we need both. Matter of fact, if pioneers and settlers work together, they can likely succeed in the short run, and they can likely succeed in the long run, the long term. However, that's easier said than done. because it's too easy, because a pioneer and a settler seem to be pulling against each other. It almost seems like we're heading in opposite directions. How can, though, we harness it together? Because oftentimes, because we see things differently, one group's strength is the other group's weakness. And oftentimes, that's how we judge one another. And yet in this pioneer-settler kind of tension is where communication gets messed up. It's where perspective gets skewed. It's where priorities get challenged. And yet in it, how can we harness and work together? Now, I know that's a lot of setup to get us ready for what we're about to read here in Revelation chapter 3, but I wanted to give you a little bit of that today because we are looking at a church that's very specific on the map. Matter of fact, on the map, you're going to see it's the church that's on the furthest east heading out to that uncharted, unhinged, and an area that needs to be settled for Christ. And as this church is the far east, the gateway to the east, it was a transition point. It was a place of opportunity. However, at this church, you're going to see is this, they're facing some opposition. They're being excommunicated by the locals there, starting with the Jewish population. And they were prevented from entering into the life of their city as normal citizens. What did that do? It discouraged them. These challenges discouraged this church, and they're wondering, how are we going to move forward? That's how on time Jesus' words are right now for this church. And this is how on time, I believe, somebody watching out there today, this word is for you today. Come on, Christian or not, listen to what God's truth might say to you in this moment. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? All right, look at this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, these are the words of him who is holy and true. Talking about the writer here. This is Jesus talking these words so John the disciple could write these down. He said, these are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. David's the most famous king in Israel's past. And yet, Jesus is the one that holds that key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And then Jesus gets real personal with this church. He says, I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door. Did you see that? I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And then he says this, I know that you have just a little bit of strength. Come on, I know you're feeling weak right now. You just have a little bit of strength. Yet, you, church, have kept my word and you have not denied my name. Man, these are great words. And I want you to see this because, see, poverty and oppression were common among the Christians there in Philadelphia. Yet, they are remaining faithful to God. And despite this, matter of fact, there's only two letters Jesus writes where he gives no kind of condemnation to. Philadelphia is one of those letters. He only gives encouragement and affirmation to this church. I think that's very key. I want you to see something here because the risen Jesus is trying to show them, I hold the keys. And the risen Jesus is saying, come on in your situation. Come through the door that I have opened for you. Now, if you're a note taker, let me give you this thought. Unbelief sees obstacles, but faith sees opportunity. Let me say that again. Unbelief sees obstacles. Let me get my mouth clear today. Obstacles, but faith sees opportunity. I want you to hear this today. Now, the location of this church, again, it's Philadelphia. Now, that's interesting because in America, in the United States, we also have a city called Philadelphia. Now, I think you know, what does the name Philadelphia actually mean? It's actually a Greek name. Phileo or Philea means brother. And we know this, it's the city of what? The city of brotherly love. That is the actual name of what Philadelphia is, the city of brotherly love. You know what I think about when I think about Philadelphia? I think about that Eagle game a couple decades ago where the Eagle fans throw snowballs at Santa. And I want to go, that's the city of brotherly love, throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. Yet, the name Philadelphia is actually from a real life person, the king of the Attalids during the second century BC, Attalus Philadelphus II of Pergamum, come on, handsome dude here, he is the originator of this city, and it was named after his namesake. And yet, this is the frontier post of the kingdom, intended to be a gateway, an open door, to bring the culture of Greece and Rome out to the east. Now, what makes it interesting is this, is that Paul, the missionary Paul, he sees that same route, that same pathway out to the east as an open door, not for Greek and Roman culture, but for the good news of Jesus Christ. He wants to see that gospel advanced. He wants them to see that this is an open door. Now, open doors are what we all long for in our lives. Can I talk to the person today that's looking for an open door when it comes to a new job right now? More people have been looking for a new job in the last 10 to 12 months than a long, long time, because guess what? The trauma of this last year makes them think, is there another opportunity out there? Maybe the open door for you is a future move that you're longing for. And are we ever going to get that door back open? Are we going to find that house? Are we going to move to that new community? Are we going to go to that new state? What's that next assignment? Maybe the open door for you is a new friendship that's beginning, or an open door, a new relationship that you're pursuing. Maybe the open door for this new year for you is to say, I do at an altar. Maybe the open door is to finally find that next step after high school. What is that open door? What is that new opportunity that you're maybe longing for? You know, an open door could also be an open door of sharing Jesus with somebody that you care about in your life. You ever find yourself praying, God, would you open a door so it'll clearly open their eyes and their ears to hear, to understand who Jesus could be? I want us to see this open opportunity as a pathway forward. You see, Jesus wants this church to see you're going to be a missionary church. You're going to go where the gospel hasn't gone before, and I need some pioneers to go first. I need some settlers to go with, because again, come on, let's think about this for a second. Pioneers get us there. Settlers keep us there. Say that with me, wherever you're watching from. Pioneers get us there. Settlers keep us there. One more time. Pioneers get us there. Settlers keep us there. So again, I'll ask you, are you a pioneer or a settler? Let me ask a series of questions and let you come to your own conclusion. Here we go. Look at this test. You didn't know you were going to get a test today, huh? Come on, come on. It's a snow day. You need this today. Wherever you're watching from, we need to take a test today. Here we go. Question one, do you enjoy change and you see change as no threat to your life? Any change people out there? Ding, 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 that you're starting to see who you are, right? Question two, do you appreciate careful preparation before action? Come on, what does that describe in you? Number three, do you want others to come along on the new endeavors? It's about company, about people going with you. Is that you? Question four, do you see being adaptable? You're an adaptable person. Is that one of your strengths? Do you move slower in hopes to bringing others along? Next question. Do you become bored in doing the same thing too long? Anybody out there get bored quick? Look at the next question. Do you have an idea of the outcome before you ever start the project? Again, looking at that planner mind out there. Who's the planner? Who's the developer? Look at the next one. Do you find it difficult when others don't immediately respond to your new ideas? Any frustrated pioneers out there today? Do you believe careful planning avoids unnecessary hurts? And then the next two questions. Do you enjoy the challenge of a new situation? And then the last question. Do you become impatient with slow decision-making processes? So the question today, do you know who you are yet based on those series of questions? Matter of fact, I want to push you a little bit today because you're watching from somewhere today. Listen, if you're in the chat right now, say it. Say, I want you to go first. Listen, no, actually, don't say it yet. I want you to do this today. Wherever you're watching within the room, I'm going to make you move. I know you got comfortable. I know some of you might be laying down, but I want you to pop up right now. Pioneers, we know your spirit. You always want to go first, so let's let you go first. Any pioneers out there, stand up right now or at least put your hand high in the air in the room. Let everybody see, I'm a pioneer. That's kind of how I think and feel right now. I'm a pioneer. Anybody out there? Now, settlers, I know you probably settled way in right now, and you don't want to move and stand up and raise a hand, but come on, settlers, let us know who you are. Any settlers? Settlers. Are you a pioneer, or are you a settler? Now, I think it might actually depend on certain things happening. I can look back in my life, and there's been times I've been a pioneer in personal decisions and in leadership decisions and things kind of moving out there and going first. But there's also things in my life where I've kind of, I want the structure, I want the stability, I want a settling in. And so I can see pioneer and I can see settler within my life at times. However, I would say most of us have one that we lean more than the other two. Did you know that most organizations have more settlers than they do pioneers? Shouldn't be a surprise, right? Can I tell you, church is no different? Church tends to have more settlers because it's all about consistency and structure and keeping us together as we're doing. And again, there's not right wrong with pioneers and settlers. We just need to know how to work together so that we can accomplish the mission that God puts in front of us. I thought about this. Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, he actually talks about the fivefold gifts. He talks about this theme of, he gives some people to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists. And then he goes on to say, some are going to be shepherds and teachers. Do you know that most churches in America lean more to the shepherd teacher? Guess what that is? That's settler ministry. It's like, where's the ape? Where's the ape? Where's the apostle? Where's the prophets? Where's the evangelist? And listen, we need both as we continue to be the people of God. And so I don't know where you are today, but you can't be disconnected any longer. Listen, don't go alone and don't go against. Let's harness our lives together. This missionary church, Philadelphia, Jesus is speaking to them, saying, I want you to be a church that's out on that front lines. I'm going to need some pioneers. I'm going to need some settlers. We got some work to do. And I love how he compliments them. He says, but you're a church that's holding on to the word of God. So important. Paul once said this in Romans chapter 10, faith comes through hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This word has to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We need to hold on daily to the word of God. Now, let's do this. Because as we listen into this letter, I've read the first little part, but I want you to see what Jesus gives next. This is where it really gets good. He gives some promises of what's to come to his people that he loves. Look at verse 9. That's where we'll kind of pick back up. He says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're really liars. I will make them come, and they're going to fall down at your feet, and they're going to acknowledge that I loved you. And then he says, since you have kept my command to what? To endure patiently, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come to the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Now, there's a lot packed into these sentences that I just read. Let me just unpack a few for you. You see, the Church of Philadelphia is under attack. And the greatest attack that they're facing in Philadelphia comes from people that claim to be people of God. Yes, Jewish people, but the Jewish people claim that they're the God's chosen people. They're Israel, right? Yet they're the ones that are the harshest in treating the Christians the worst. Jesus said, they're not my people. They actually represent my adversary, my opposition. They represent Satan. They don't represent me. And then right behind that, Jesus says, I'm going to actually want you to see that these tests, these trials, Christians in Philadelphia that you're facing, they're actually serving a purpose. They're preparing you for that frontier next step that I have in front of you. And Jesus affirms something that we often miss in Scripture. He affirms endurance. It's one thing to come to a place and saying, yes, I choose Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of my sin. I surrender all to him. But it's when we begin to walk in our faith day by day, and when we face trials and challenges, we don't let go of our faith, but our faith actually carries us through. Jesus says, oh, Church of Philadelphia, you have endured patiently. Come on, could that be said of you in 2020? Could that be said of you in 2021 that you are enduring patiently because you're holding on to the word, you're holding on to faith? And then he gives us this language that we might not fully understand. He talks about this coming tribulation. Now, again, we're not unpacking a lot of the apocalyptic and eschatology stuff in the Revelation book, but there is a few chapters later, we hear about this 7 years of testing, 7 years of tribulation. And right here is a promise to this Church of Philadelphia that God's going to step in before they have to endure that. You see, he's wanting them to see that you don't have to fear your enemies and you don't have to fear the future. Trust in me and let me see you through. So can I just say something to you today? Come on, God is talking to us today. Don't miss his voice. He says this, he says, don't let fear, don't let unbelief, and don't let delay cause the crisis of a missed opportunity. Did you hear that? Don't let anything cause you to miss your God-given opportunity. So what are you facing right now? Maybe you're honest enough to say, Pastor, my door's not open. It's closed right now. Sometimes that is the reality. But whether you're facing a closed door or an open door, I want to give you a series of three questions for you to put yourself where you think you spiritually are right now in your journey. Here we go. Are you stuck? Are you waiting? Or are you moving forward? Which one best describes you right now in your life, in your relationships, and in your spiritual journey? Are you stuck? Are you waiting? Are you moving forward? Jesus has so much to give. Not just to this church, but even to us today. Listen, he gives some promises. He doesn't stop at those promises. Look at verse 11. Listen how he closes the letter. Jesus says, I am coming soon. That's a promise. That's good news today, church out there. Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take away your crown. No one can take away your reward. Come on, hold on to your faith and find out that I'm holding on to you. He said, the one who is victorious. Come on, staking that claim, right? The one who is victorious, I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I'm going to write on them the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. and I'm going to write on them a new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow, such good word. Now, if you didn't pay attention, he's not just talking about Philadelphia being on an earthly geographical frontier. He takes it to a whole nother level. He takes it to a future frontier that could be ours if we find ourselves in Jesus Christ. He points to an ultimate destination. He points to a new and coming city. He talks about a new Jerusalem. He talks about heaven. Yes, the Bible talks about heaven, and Jesus tells this church of Philadelphia that started off, he talked about them having an earthly little bit of strength. He says, if you hold on to that little bit of earthly strength, I'm going to give you, you're going to become a pillar in the temple of God. I want you to see that juxtaposed here. Listen, if you hold on by faith here, I'm gonna put you as a landmark, a pillar in the house of God that I'm building in my forever place called heaven. That's the transformation that could be yours in Christ. Just keep moving forward through the open door. Come on, don't miss it. Don't miss the open door. Again, what is that open door right now for you? You know, I almost hesitated sharing this, but listen, today we're all watching from somewhere. I just want to make an appeal here because somebody's watching today that's been prayed for. Somebody doesn't even know it, but somebody's been praying that God would open the door for you to finally see and experience and understand what salvation's all about. Many of y'all know my story. I didn't grow up in a family that was weekly in worship. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I'm a first-generation Christian. What does that mean? That means my neighbors are the ones who took me with them to their church, and they're the ones who began to share Jesus in a way that began to go from just being about church and religion to being about a relationship in Christ. I was 14 years old when God opened up my mind and my heart and brought me from death to life into Christ. I became a Christian when I was 14 years old. Do you know that the very first thing that I had on my heart as a new believer is I began to pray that God would open up the heart of my mom and my dad and my family, all my family members. I wanted them to have what I had discovered in Jesus Christ. So I began to pray. Can I tell you, in those early days, it was discouraging to pray because the doors always felt closed. You ever done that where you've prayed for somebody and you're like, you know clearly, they don't want to hear this and I want to share it, but they're not ready to receive it yet. The door is shut. Can I tell you, the person in my life that I've been praying for decades was my dad. Love my dad. I want my dad to love me and be proud of me. But there was a lot of years where I longed for him to know what I discovered in Christ at 14 years old. It's interesting how sometimes things have to happen to open somebody's door. But for my dad, it took us walking as a family through some of our darkest chapters of our family story for him to finally soften and for God to finally crack that door and open it wide. It took my sister's death. It took his cancer battle until his last physical days on earth for that door to finally be wide open and clearly for him. And it was then that I knew God was saying, this is your moment to share these words. This is the moment for you to invite him to come through that door of faith. Don't give up if you're praying for somebody. That's what I'm trying to encourage you today. Don't stop, because you never know when God's going to open that door, and God could perhaps use you to be a voice of that good news. Before my dad left this physical life, he trusted and believed in Christ. He gave our family the assurance of what he believed about faith in Jesus alone. It's been about 7-8 months since my dad has been gone. And that assurance of knowing that my dad now is in heaven has been great, great peace for me. Who is it for you you've been praying with? Who's that for you you've been praying for? There's something about these words. Here's where it gets even better. Watch this. In this book of Revelation, these letters, Jesus gives these words and John writes them down. But if you keep going through the book of Revelation and go all the way to Revelation chapter 21, John is going to tell you a vision that he sees and he's going to write it down for us to have all these years later. He actually writes about our future home in heaven. If you're a Christian out there today, he talks about what heaven is going to be like. This is so rich. This is so good. Listen to these words. Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, "Then I saw," John said, "a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, they passed away, and they're no longer any sea." He said, "But I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people.'" That's the good news of heaven. God's going to live with us, right? "And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and he'll be their God." And this is my favorite part. He's talking about what heaven's gonna be like. He says, "He will wipe away every tear," he says, "from their eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Listen to me about an open door. You might miss an open door in relationship to a new job. You could even miss it for a new open door for a move in your life, or maybe even a new relationship in your life. But can I just kind of challenge you? Can I beg you a little bit today? Don't miss the open door to faith in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible's so clear here that its new life begins in a relationship with Jesus, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way that we get to God the Father. Jesus is our ultimate life in this world and in the life in the world to come. And then when we start to really understand what heaven's going to be like, listen, if you're not a Christian today, you don't want to miss heaven. Can I tell you, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it, because in heaven, there's going to be no more pain. In heaven, there's going to be no more tears. In heaven, no more cancer. No more COVID. Come on, can I get a witness? There's going to be no more betrayal. No more abuse. No more anxiety. No more depression. No more suicide. Don't miss the opportunity of the open door to faith that's found in Jesus Christ alone. Listen, our worship team's gonna come and they're gonna lead us in this moment right now. But listen, don't push back. Don't shrink back. Don't miss the word that God's gonna have right now directly to you. Because right now, all of us are facing some things in our life. And I'm asking you right now, are you facing a door? And is it an open door, or is the door right now closed? You see, if the door is closed, what an opportunity you have right now to pray and to prepare for the frontier of what's next. But for a lot of us today, that door is opened. God has made a way, and he's inviting you to step in and to step through. Don't miss this moment. Listen, I'll ask you again. Are you a pioneer? Are you a settler? Then celebrate what you are, and then look across at other people that are like you, and even people that aren't like you, and celebrate what they are too. It's time for us to work together. Come on, no more going alone. No more going against. We need each other. We need each other at work. We need each other on the team. We need each other in the family. We need each other in the marriage. We need each other in the church. Come on, Mount Ararat. This is the hour. We got to be pulling together. We got to be pushing together. We got to be pioneering together. We got to be settling together. We need to move forward in faith with Jesus alone. And really, that's the work of what we're talking about here. is that Jesus wants to work in your life and in mine. The question is, are we willing to surrender all and let him have his way in us? Come on, how is Jesus right now wanting to work on you? How is Jesus right now wanting to work on us as his church? Don't miss the open door. Don't miss the open door. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for what you have spoken over your people today. I know it's another seemingly interrupted Sunday with weather. But God, instead of choosing frustration and missed opportunity, today we're using our faith so that we can see opportunity over obstacles. God, maybe you needed to slow us down this Sunday so that we could have a little family meeting when it's all said and done. Because maybe there's people in our house that's been going alone. There's been people in our house that's been going against. And today it ends today. It ends today, God. In Jesus' name, we're ready and willing to lay it down at your feet. But God, I am so convinced today that just like you spoke to the church of Philadelphia, right now you're trying to reach out for the one person that's not accidentally watching today, but on purpose today, you invited them here so that they could finally see the open door to you. If you need to become a Christian today, wherever you're watching from, don't push away any longer. Walk through the door. His name is Jesus. If you're ready to trust and believe in prayer, would you just simply say that to God in your prayer where you're sitting? And it can be an inward prayer, but tell him this. Say, God, you have spoken so clearly to me, and I'm missing opportunities in my life. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to lead me to you. I'm yours and I'm all in. Thank you, God, for saving me. Listen today, would you open your eyes? If you just prayed those words and believe those words, would you let us know? If you'll reach out to your host watching right there online, if you'll reach out right now and let us know who you are, we'll send you a Bible today. I want to put that in your hands so that you, like the Church of Philadelphia, can hold tightly to that word of truth. Listen, Christians watching today, what an opportunity you have to take this language of pioneer and settler, use it in your family, use it in your small group, use it in your organization, at work, in your business, in your group, so that you can begin to lead the way and show that we're better together. May this Church of Philadelphia be an inspiring church to all of us today. I love you, church. I know these are crazy days. I hope that we can gather physically next week for some of you that are ready so that we can be together once again. Don't miss the open door. I love you. God bless you. See you soon.